Good morning, New Life. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Awesome. That's awesome. Today we're starting a new series called High Stakes. And it's the series about true love is risky. That Wednesday night when I met Jade for the first time, we were praying here for an hour. And usually after praying for an hour, we hang out in the lobby for a little bit and we quietly go home. This Wednesday that we were praying, I got tired of just feeling safe in our church. The air conditioning was running, and it was nice and cool inside. And something tugged at my heart, and I said, guys, we gotta go. It wasn't just me, it was Eric, and I think it was Joe as well. They're like, yeah, let's go. They're young enough to be crazy enough to believe God, you know? And we're like, let's go outside and talk to people in the streets. Let's do this. As soon as we get out of the building, we see this man with tattoos, tattoo artist, walking down the street. And as soon as he saw us, he looked at our sign, and he was walking by Top Hat down the hill towards our church. He almost, and I'm like, come over here. And that's when we started talking to him. And now they're a part of this church. He got baptized, got saved. They serve here. They're part of a life group. His wife is actually serving at Kids Church today, teaching our kids. I mean, how awesome is God? But before that happened, somebody had to take a risk. And I know many of you do the same thing by inviting people who are far from God, who don't know God, or you maybe don't even go to church, you know. You invite them so they can grow in their relationship with God. But anyway, today is a new series, High Stakes. It's a series about radical love. It's a series about bringing people closer to Jesus. It's a series about how God loves us. And if you say you love God, you cannot separate yourself from radically loving your neighbor, human being, another human being. How do you know that a person loves God is because of how they love their neighbor? Apostle John, who's the apostle of love, he said this. How can you claim that you love God, who you don't see, and hate your brother, who you see every day? You're fake. Because a true love for God is only tested by true love for your neighbor. Amen. So today I want to start with a story, a famous story of a good Samaritan. How many of you know that story? It's Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. When I became a Christian, I struggled with living a double life. On one part, I was living for God. On another part, I was living for the world. And I felt like a hypocrite. How many of you ever felt that? And so one day, I just got tired of feeling bad inside. You know, Bible says you cannot serve two masters. You will love one or hate the other. And church was just, I have to do this. But I really loved the world. I love my lifestyle in the world. And I thought I felt God say to me, you're either going to serve me 100% or go serve the devil 100%. Be either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. And from that day on, I made a decision. I made a decision that I tried to follow for the last, 16, 17 years since I gave my life to Jesus. I said, I'm going to serve God 100% or nothing at all. That's why when you see my passion for Jesus, for bringing people closer to Jesus, it's because of the commitment that I made. Now, am I still a hypocrite? Yes. So are you. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're perfect or not a hypocrite. We all are hypocrites. Man, when God takes you out of your comfort environment, you really begin to see who you truly are. On this seven-day vacation, I got hit by some things. I'm like, I didn't think I had that problem anymore. I didn't think I had to deal with this problem anymore. But it doesn't mean when you decide to follow Christ 100% that you will be perfect. Jade says he's a king of sinners. Apostle Paul says I'm a chief of sinners. But really, that's what we are. And when Apostle Paul says I'm a chief of sinners, I'm the top sinner, he says. Chief. He says it at the end of his life. When he was way different than when he started his life. So at the end of your life, you're still chief of sinners. So don't beat yourself up because you're not perfect. But the Word of God And today, the Word of God will be revealed to you guys. And what it is, it's a mirror. The Word of God is a mirror that today you will be faced with. And when you look at that mirror and you don't like what you see, don't blame the pastor for showing you the mirror. Just say, oh, I got some imperfections, I got some blemishes, and I need to work on them. Now, don't condemn yourself and say, man, I'm a wretched sinner. Don't say that either. Because really, you're a saved sinner, washed by the blood of Jesus. Your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins have been crucified on the cross. They have been transferred from you to the cross 2,000 years ago. So don't blame yourself, don't condemn yourself. Just say, this is what I need to work on. Because Satan will come in and say, you'll never be good enough. Just say, you're a liar. Why are you bringing the obvious? Of course I'm never going to be good enough. But through faith in Jesus Christ, I am good enough. I am the righteousness of God. I have a right standing with God. So why are you bringing the obvious, trying to confuse me, Satan? Of course I'm never going to be good enough. But Paul says, I abandon those things behind me and I reach forward to a higher calling in Christ Jesus. I got a higher calling. I got to go forward. I'm not done yet. Just because you've been coming to church for a year, 6 months, 10 years, you're still not done. You still got a race to run so you can win the prize that God has for us. That's eternal life and all the inheritance that he has for us here on earth and in heaven. Okay, let's read Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit the eternal life? Stop here. This is the question that all people ask. Is there eternal life and how do I inherit it? Every religion tries to answer that question. Wouldn't you agree? How do I inherit the eternal life? And Jesus answers him with another question. So watch what he says. Next one. Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses says? How do you read it? And he says, the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, I thought there was like a lot of laws. Yes, there's about 612 laws in the Old Testament, but they're summarized into two. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. It's like a coin that has two sides, right? On one side, love God. On the other side, love your neighbor. You can't separate them. They work together. So Jesus says, right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. What does that mean, you will live? You will have eternal life. So how do you have eternal life? How do you live forever? Because we do live forever. Our soul never dies. Satan never dies. He's just put in prison forever, but he never dies. How do you live forever? Well, love God and love people. The man wanted to justify his actions. This doesn't make sense right here. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Notice this. This man could have just left it there and say, okay, great. But it says he wanted to justify himself. What for? Something tugged at him. Somehow when Jesus looked at him, it spoke to his conscience. Because he was a religious leader. He was a teacher of the law. He knew these commandments because they were written on his clothing that they wear. Right? He knew these by heart. But something spoke to him. And I think this man was a big racist. Because how Jesus responds. I think this man was a religious hater. If you don't do it my way, if you're not like me, that's why he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Notice he didn't say something about the love of God. He said about the neighbor. Because, see, if you truly love God, somehow it's going to reflect on your neighbor. We've got a lot of work to do here on ourselves. Let's keep going. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead besides the road. Were they some kind of pervs? Why did they strip him of his clothes? Well, in those days, people didn't have clothes like we do. I traveled and I wore one shorts or two shorts on my trip thing, and I packed like a whole big suitcase. I'm like, man, we have a lot of clothes. And that was just like a little part of what I have. See, in our day, clothes are abundant. In those days, they had one nice robe and then the undergarments. So when these bandits attacked him, clothes was valuable. Those robes were valuable. Remember when Jesus was being crucified? Soldiers threw lots for his robe. His robe was a nice robe. Okay, they wanted it. They didn't want to rip that apart. They wanted to throw lots for it so they could keep it. They took the clothes off this man, this robe. They beat him up. They left him half for dead besides the road. I actually, not to drop names or anything or nations, I've actually been in Israel. And I actually drove in our big bus, like 50 people bus, on that road. That road is called the Blood Road. Because that road is so narrow and the cliffs beside it are so steep that when you drive, I was going like this because I felt like our bus was gonna, you know, jump from those cliffs. And they're deep. So they're not like our nice ditches that we have on the side of the road, you know, where you can see. I mean, these ditches were the cliffs where if you fell, you probably busted yourself pretty good by falling down. And if you know anything about Israel, there's not a lot of grass there. It's all just rocks and pointy rocks. So that's the kind of road it was. That was a popular road to get attacked on. And this man was walking there. And he was walking by himself. In those days when people would travel, what they would do is they would gather together in groups. They would have weapons to protect themselves. Otherwise, if you walked on this road, it was a 21-mile walk from Jerusalem to Jericho. You were most likely going to get attacked by somebody. And so this man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, got attacked, stripped naked, beat up, and thrown into the cliff, off the cliff. Laying there half for dead. Let's keep reading. By chance, a priest came along. This is a story Jesus is telling us. Now, is it a true story? Probably not. Is it based on a true story? Probably. This is something that would happen on a regular basis. Like we could say people in South Dakota, you know, went off into a ditch on an icy road in the winter. This happens. We're not talking about any particular story, but we're talking about something that happens often in our city. And so, by chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Crossed to the other side. We heard the story. He almost crossed to the other side. So, the priest sees him, and he ignores him. Let's keep going. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. So here we got these men who work in the church. We got a priest, and I'm not going to hit the priest because I'm a priest myself, you know. But the priest walks by. He's so busy in church. He's late for service. And here's this man. He has to pick him up and do something. And you would think a priest would take a man and bring him to church. No, he doesn't do that. He walks by. We see a worship leader or temple attendant. Really, it says a Levite in other translations. He walks by, looks down, too much work, yeah. I got to play, man. My guitar here, my harp here needs tuning. And he passes him by. Then a despised Samaritan. And here how I know this man, this religious law teacher who was trying to trap Jesus and tempt him is a little bit racist. He says, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. If you know anything about Samaritans and Jews, they hated each other. Jews and Samaritans were enemies. Why? Because Jews claimed to have a pure blood, Jewish blood, from Abraham, starting Abraham. Samaritans, on the other hand, they were people that mixed bloodlines with the Arab nations and other Palestinians and things like that. So the Jewish people would not allow Samaritans to enter into temple, although they believed in the same God. And so there was a war between them all the time. They hated each other with full passion. When Nehemiah came back to build the walls, some of you can read a book of Nehemiah. The walls of Jerusalem were destroyed and he came back to build. The people who resisted him were Samaritans. Tobiah and another guy, they wanted to kill them. So there is even more hatred and animosity between these people. One day Jesus was sitting by the well in Samaria, and a Samaritan woman came, and he began a conversation with her. And the first thing she asked him, "How are you being a Jew talking to me? Isn't it illegal for you to talk to me?" Because Jews and Samaritans have no dealings. Jews would actually, if they needed to go through Samaria to go to a place, and it would be the shortest distance, Jews would walk around a long distance so they would not go and defile themselves by those dirty Samaritans. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. For the Son of Man did not came to kill and destroy life, but to save life. For the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and give his life for many. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came to pick people up from ditches. And all of us, at one point or another, were in those ditches. Beat up by life, stripped naked. What is the job of the devil? John 10:10. For the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so you may have rich and satisfying life. Satan's job, see, whoever works with the devil, with the world, he will use you, he will steal from you, he will rob you, and then when you are useless to him, he will kill you. That's the job of the devil. If you're with the devil, if you're buddies with the devil, he might give you things, but he will always, at the end, destroy you. Don't play with the devil. That's why make a commitment to follow God with your whole heart, 100%. That doesn't mean you're perfect. Separate that. The perfection, separate that. But make a decision. As much as I can, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Okay, going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine. Wine was used for disinfection. And bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey, or a truck, whatever you want to, in our days, and took him to an inn or a hotel where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Somebody calculated, and I did my research on this story. Somebody calculated, and it said that the man paid from 20 to 30 days of his hotel stay. This man was pretty beat up. That took some money. That took generosity. See, we think that by saving people, bringing people closer to Jesus, we think that it doesn't take any money. When we give at New Life, did you know that when you give at New Life, it's not so we can pay the bills, although part of that money goes there. It's all about bringing more people closer to Jesus. So your money are being used not just for, you know, earthly pleasures and earthly things that we do need. I'm not against that. But your money is being used to impact people's lives for eternity. Did you know that your money can change somebody's life forever? And people get funny when you talk about money, so I'm not going to go there. But really, your money impacts lives. We wouldn't be here, Jade wouldn't be here, if you didn't give, if I didn't give. Now Jesus asks this religious leader, "Now which one of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Point number one, how to inherit the eternal life. It's easy. The answer is love. It's love God and love your neighbor. It's love. If you love your neighbor but you hate God, you're not going to get there. If you love God but you don't love your neighbor, you're not going to get there. It's the same coin with 2 different sides. Jesus says, right. He says, "Who is my neighbor?" Well, here comes the story of Good Samaritan. Samaritan didn't have to stop. He was putting himself in danger by stopping, because what if this was a trap? You know, I how many of you like to watch criminal shows on TV? Yeah? Criminal Minds, anybody? Oh man, that's a good show. No, some of you are like, no. And a lot of times in those stories, a man is driving and he sees somebody on the side of the road waving, "Please help." And usually it's a serial killer. Green River Monster or something. I don't know. Love takes effort and risk. This man stops. And I'm sure he probably had protection because he was a wealthy man. How do you pay for somebody's hotel 20 and 30 days? You had to have some means. Okay, he stopped. He had compassion on this man. The Levi walked by. The priest walked by. I want to ask us a question. I want to talk about spiritual breakup. The lives of people that the devil hurts and destroys. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about bringing people closer to Jesus. The Levi saw. And this happens in our churches, guys. We get so comfortable in the church that when we see people on the side of the road, and I'm not talking naturally, I'm talking spiritually. We already know that people on the side of the road, we probably will stop and help. I mean, got to do it with wisdom, right? Don't want to be a victim or anything. But I'm talking about people who are far from God, being robbed by the devil, being stolen from, being beat up, being killed, and being destroyed. How do we respond? Many times you would think it's the job of a priest to save people, to bring people closer to Jesus. It's a job of a Levite, of a temple worker, to bring people closer to Jesus. But really, it's a job of everyone who loves God to save the lost, to save people who are being beat up by life. And not everybody is like that Samaritan, totally destroyed and on the side of the road. But everybody's on a downhill. If they're far from God, it's a downslope. Love takes effort and risk. Do we have that picture? Yeah, let's read this. Love is not sitting back and waiting on someone to do something for me. Love is taking action to demonstrate to others I love them. That's what love is all about. It's not just, okay, somebody, I'm not doing anything wrong. I love God. See, a lot of times, this is our problem, Christians. We are taught in church on what not to do so much that we have no time to talk about what should we be doing. And as a Christian, this story of Good Samaritan is perfect example of what God wants us to do. Let's stop talking about, well, we're not perfect. We got to get more spiritual. We got to get more filled with the Holy Spirit to do something for God. No, God doesn't want you to wait 10 years before you can do something for Him. Today, if you see somebody far from God in a ditch, physically or spiritually, you got to help. You got to do something. Well, Pastor Alex, what are you saying? I got to buy a big pickup, put some big snow tires on him, and get a winch and drive around and see if I can find somebody in a ditch? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Be careful actually doing that, because you never know. But whenever somebody has a need, and you can fulfill that need somehow. Some of you will say, well, Pastor, I got my own rent to pay. And somebody comes and says, I need rent money. Should I give it to them? Well, if I give it to them, I won't be able to pay my rent. What do I do? See, I don't think God is saying, don't pay your rent. It says, do what you can. This man here, Samaritan, he had means. He was able to do more. But all that was required is the heart. God was looking not how much you can do. It's the heart of compassion, of love that you have. Are you hurting for the lost people who are in the ditches of life? Or do you just walk by and say, I'm saved. I'm good. That's all that matters. I don't want a church full of people who believe the gospel of Pharisees. You know, there's two gospels. There's gospel of grace and love. That's the gospel of Jesus. And there is on the other side, the gospel of Pharisees. You want to know what the gospel of Pharisees was? I just got to save myself. I just got to save myself and exclude as many people as possible. That's why they would make these religious rules, right? In Jesus' time, if you didn't wash your hands, you're not saved. You can't be with us. If you didn't do this, you can't come to the temple. If you're a Samaritan, no, you can't come and worship with us. See, gospel of religion. And if we become a church just about ourselves, we're more like that religious teacher than we're like Jesus. And the Bible never tells us to imitate the religious leaders. The Bible tells us to imitate Jesus. And Jesus was, how can we include more people? How can we get more people into this building? That's what Jesus is all about. How can we open the door wide for everybody to come in? Religious leaders, on the other hand, says, no. How can we exclude more people? Would you agree? So many churches, and thank God they're dying, they close themselves and slowly they're dying off. Because it's all about protecting myself, saving myself. Love, on the other hand, the grace of God, on the other hand, says, no, 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 this is not just for me. And I'm going to take risk. And I'm going to take a risk. Love is risky, right? I'm going to take risk. I'm going to go talk to my neighbor and invite him to church. I'm going to do something. If I see somebody far from God, I'm not going to say, get better, get yourself together, and then maybe I'll invite you to church. I've actually heard people say to me, Pastor Alex, he wouldn't be good at this church. He's too messed up. What? What are you talking about? Not as messed up as you are. Right? The house of worship is for all. It's for all people. Jews, Samaritans. That's why we want New Life Church to be interracial, international type of a church. Where everybody is welcome. Everybody is a part. Everybody is growing in God, but not stuck here. Don't you get stuck. Don't be, Andre talked about last week. I heard your message. Don't be a church rat. Okay? Church rat is the one who comes to church and that's it. Nobody else knows about it. No, don't be that. Be like the Samaritan. Number one, he has compassion. Love of God. If you say you love God, it will produce compassion in you. Notice Jesus didn't come just to die for the Jews, which were his people. Came, God so loved the world that he gave his son. I don't think none of us are the Samaritan here. I think Jesus is the Samaritan. He doesn't mind being called a half-blood, whatever you Jews used to call him. He doesn't mind that. He is the one. He is perfect like that. I don't think any of us are perfect like that. But we strive. We strive to get better. See, he had compassion. He said, man, this guy is dying. That's a human life. High stakes. Guys, what we do here is the most important thing in the universe. What happens in the church? Church is the hope of the world. Church is a place where people far from God can grow closer to Jesus. Church is a place where you can... Church is like school, really. Where you come, start at kindergarten, and you, like you said, and you just keep growing in God. But church is not a place where we're stuck, and it's what we do. How we're identified. No, it's we want to be like Jesus. We want to be those good Samaritans that people will see our good works glorify our Father in heaven. And I'm talking about physical works and spiritual works. Physical works and spiritual works. A couple of years ago, I blew a tire on a trailer I was pulling. It stressed me out. You know, when you're trying to work, I used to run a business, and so I tried to work and blow a tire. It destroys everything. Plus, I was running late for a next job appointment. So I go in, and I change the tire, and there's this lady, gets presented with a bill, and she's like crying. She says, I can't pay this. And God spoke to me, says, you got the money, pay her. Pay for her. I'm like, God, I've never done this before. Is this really you, or is this the devil? Stand behind me, Satan, right? Right? That's how some of you feel when I talk about money or Andre talks about money. Stand behind me. La, 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 la. Last week's offering was awesome, guys. Thank you. We got to do that remodel here before Easter. So I'm really hoping you guys can give to that. But anyway, I finally said, fine, here's my pay. It was like $350. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot. And I go to my job. My job turns out to double. I do it in a couple of hours. And for just a little extra, I doubled. Yeah, those were the good old days. Yeah. Then somebody else calls and says, I got another emergency. Go. God doubled that day what I gave. So I made double what I gave her. All right? That's not it. I get in Facebook. Somebody finds me on Facebook and writes me a story that made, I think I still have it somewhere. I don't know this lady. She lives here in Sioux Falls. She writes me and says, Pastor, I don't know if you remember me, but I was the one at that TMA store on Sycamore, and you paid, and you don't know how. And she says, I've been telling everybody about your church, because I told her, you know, or I give her a card maybe to her church. And she's like, I've been telling everybody about that. And I'm like, really? Because I got blessed already. You know, I forgot about that because it didn't hurt much because I got blessed back by God. See, God says, given, it shall be given to you. See, when we become generous, see, this rich Samaritan understood that when he gives, God will not withhold his blessings from him. God will give him protection. So it was compassion number one, generosity number two. Now, I didn't tell you this story to brag on myself because I wouldn't do it. I had to obey God, and I really wasn't a cheerful giver at that moment. So it has nothing to do with me. But he took his own money. And look what he did, Bible says. He took him. He stayed with him in the inn for 2 days. He didn't just bring him and says, hey, here's money. Take care of this man. I don't care about him. Yeah. Let me wash my hands. He stayed with him. There's a spiritual principle there. When you bring somebody to church, when you bring somebody to an inn, which represents kind of symbolically of a church, stay with them. Don't just say, oh, I brought somebody to church. I don't want nothing to. No, you stay till they recover. You stay till they grow. Young people, you need to stay with young people. Middle age, you need to stay with middle age. We don't have any old ones here, but, you know, stay with people till they recover, till they recover. And he says, if it takes more money, then when I come back, I'll take care of it. If this man, Samaritan, did this for this Jew, who they hated each other, this was physical needs. How much bigger is our church calling, bringing people closer to Jesus so they can have eternal life? Our see, guys, I respect soup kitchens, and we recommend you go there and serve. But what we do here is greater than the soup kitchen. I recommend we go to missions trips. And soon we're going to have a testimony by Joel, our missionary to Honduras. And he's going to testify about our church gave to him quite a bit of money. And he's going to testify what God is doing. You need to do that. We need to meet people's needs. But we cannot forget about the most important need. That's the spiritual need. When a person from being dead comes alive, a person who doesn't know Christ becomes passionate follower of Jesus Christ. People like Jade who come and yeah, he knew about God, but now he's actually, God is going to use this guy. This is just the beginning. He's going to win tons of people for Jesus. And everybody you bring, God is going to use for his glory and your joy. I'm standing here. I'm so glad I didn't just pray here and left and looked at you. The two guy, huh? I'm so glad I stopped and said, hey, we're from church here. You need prayer? You want to come? And he came and he got baptized. And I've been seeing his life being transformed. His family, his wife serving, his girls growing up in the church. I mean, how good is that? That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. I don't want a church where I entertain you every Sunday. Andre would do a great job of that too. I heard how good and entertaining you were last week, man. I'm like, I can leave now for a month. Oh, well, thank you for that. Thank you so much. No, I'm secure in Christ. You know why? I've been doing this for so long, and I told God a long time ago, if you have somebody better, go ahead. I'll just sit and enjoy. I'll be the best usher, though. Man, I might take your job. First impression. He met his physical needs. The mission of a church is to help people physically, but the bigger mission of the church is to get people who are dead, who are living in the world, who are walking far from God, closer to Jesus. In your bulletins, you have a red card. Can you help me, ushers? Get me some more of those red cards, because I think we have more people than we had bulletins. Chad, if you could do it quickly. And girls, if you can help me with pants. If you know somebody, it's called three most wanted. Three people most wanted. Who are those people that are far from God today that you know? It's your neighbor. It's somebody you know. Or maybe somebody who you work with or see. Maybe you drive by somebody. Who are those three people? We're not saying 10 people. Who are those three people that you know that you want to pray for and you want to pick them up and bring them to church on Easter? We're getting ready for Easter. It's like a plane. We're on the runway to Easter. You know, liftoff. Come on, First Impressions team. Come on over here. If you need a red card, if you didn't have a red card, would you raise your hand? And guys and ladies will give it. Go ahead, give them the red cards. Come on, hurry up. We've got 3 minutes to finish this. Go ahead, Chad, if you could move that cross. See, I don't want us to hear a message and not respond to it. Okay, who else needs a card and a pen? A card and a pen? All right, all right. Okay, we had those cards in a box there. Can somebody run up and get them? There's a big box on a first impressions table. We need those cards. Come on, guys. If you help me out, that would be great. Thank you, Jesus. As they're giving it away, Samaritan had compassion. He was generous. He spent money. He cared enough to wash his wounds and stay with him. He represents the minister of the gospel of grace. All right, we got cards. Go ahead. Yes. Whew. All right. If you need a pen to write those three names down, because I want you to write those names, even first name, that's fine. Don't have to put your name on it or anything. What we're going to do is we're going to put those names, those three names of people that you want to bring to Jesus on Easter. And we're going to begin praying for them. We're going to take these cards, and I want you to remember the people you write down. And we're going to put them on a cross. And every Sunday you're going to come in, you're going to see. And every Sunday we're going to pray for people far from God, who are in the ditches of life, who are beat up by the world, by the devil, by broken relationships, by sin, by addictions, by... And we're going to pray. And then we're going to invite him. We're not going to invite him, I'm sorry. We're going to bring him. We're going to bring him. You can't just say, hey, you're in the ditch there. You want to come to church? He's unconscious, man. He can't respond. So you got to go and pick him up, say, come with me. That's really what evangelism is. It's hey, come. Come with me. Come with me. Three names. Can I have a card too? Three names and a pen. I've got a few people on my mind. Are you guys ready? If you don't have three, if you have two, write those down. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pass them alone to the center. To the person who is the first one in the center. Pass them alone and our ushers are going to pick them up. Yep. Go ahead, Chad. We're going to nail him to the cross. Because only at the cross is where salvation is. And I believe this series is going to be revolutionary for our church. On Easter, we're going to two services. We're going to 9:30 and 11 service. So you're going to have two options to invite people. We want to be those good Samaritans. We don't want to be just a church that entertains our own. Because eventually we will devour and destroy each other. And we'll divide into cliques and we'll hate each other. But if we have a vision that's bigger than this church, I believe we can live a life of excitement and joy seeing people come to Jesus. Every week we're going to have a testimony here. Every week. Till Easter. So if you have a testimony, you want to Facebook me or something, or email me or call me, I would love to, you know, have you guys give your story. Because I know God is doing amazing things in this church. Let's pray. Stretch your hands toward these cards. Father, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, keep posting him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for all these people. For Jeremiah, for Adam, for Joe, for Dave, for Austin, Taylor. Father, we pray for Chris, Jeff, Judy. Father, we pray for these people who are still far from you. And we're not going to not care about them. Father, we love you. And that love is compassionate. That love is moving us, Lord. It's like fire in our bones, God. It makes us move. It makes us active, God. We don't want to be Christians who are just careless, God. We want to be Christians who are active, on fire for you, God. Because you saved us, we want to save others. Bring these people closer to Jesus through us. Give us enough boldness, God. Give us enough passion, God. Give us enough confidence, God, in you, God. Give us that love so big, God, that's overflowing, God, that we go and talk to our neighbor, to our brother, to our cousin, to our mom, to our dad, to people who we know, God, and bring them closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you know all these names. Lots of names here, Holy Spirit. You work on all those names. You know their first name. You know their last name. You know their story. You know what they're going through. As a church, we're not content just to sit here and have fun. God, we want to be on the mission. We want to fulfill the vision that you give us, bringing people closer to Jesus. I believe this church is full of good Samaritans, physical and spiritual needs. In Jesus' name. I want you all to close your eyes right now and bow your head. Just one moment. If you don't know Jesus today, the most important thing you can do is leave here allowing Him to come into your heart. If you're far from God today, maybe this is your first time, somebody dragged you here, but what you heard here somehow spoke to you. See, the truth is God loves you. You're not here for us, you're here for Jesus. And He loves you. Bible says He loved you so much that He died on the cross for you, took your sins away. Why would you want to carry a heavy load when somebody else already paid for them? I'm going to count to three. And in the count of three, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, if you like to confess and say, Jesus, I believe in you, on the count of three, would you raise your hand? Because the greatest thing we do at this church is now bringing people closer to Jesus. Maybe you've backslidden and you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you never knew Him. And today you say, God, I hear your voice. I hear you knocking at the door of my heart. I open my door and I tell you, come in. On a count of three, raise your hand and raise it high if you want to give your life to Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray with you where you are. And church is going to celebrate like crazy. Heaven is going to celebrate like crazy, because Bible says when one person comes to repentance, when one person comes to Jesus, when one person decides to follow Christ, angels in heaven rejoice and celebrate. Something is happening in the spirit. So I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. Raise it high. One hand, two hand, three hands. Come on, church. Four, five, five. Woo! Come on, clap your hands. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you came to die for my sins. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. From this day on, I want to follow you. From this day on, I believe that I'm saved, that I'm forgiven, and I'm a child of God. I am a new creation, and I will live new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands, church, and bless God.